Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a creative individual, a designer, someone who's lived all over the world, Nada Debs. Nada, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Nada is a Lebanese designer. She designs from product and furniture design to artwork, jewelry, and also does one-off commissions. Nada grew up in Japan and studied in Rhode Island, USA. So Nada, I'm so delighted to be able to talk to you. I know you're currently in Dubai. Let's start with your journey and tell me about the work that you do.
So basically, I'm a furniture designer. I grew up in Japan. All my childhood and my high school. My family went to Japan in 1917, so that's over 100 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And so we are a merchant family that traded in textiles. Somewhere deep in the in my subconscious, I think that I had this urge to get back to my roots. And I found my way to get back to Lebanon through living in different places.
Correct.
So today I'm a furniture designer based in Beirut, Lebanon. And what I did is I introduced furniture in our part of the world. Furniture design was maybe the last furniture design that's regional was from the Ottoman times. And that's about 200 years ago. Correct. And no one touched anything in the Middle East. And I came along from abroad and I noticed that, you know, there was a lack of local regional furniture. And I introduced my Japanese aesthetics into Middle Eastern craft.
Wow. Wow. What an amazing combination that must be. But tell me, I mean, you know, the Japanese normally have much smaller homes and Middle East has very large homes. So how did you blend the techniques or the art of Japan with the huge homes that you have in the Middle East?
So when it comes to furniture design, it's really about conceptual thinking. So it's not about the size of the home, but it's about the way they think, the way they approach design.
Okay.
So the Japanese approach design, their philosophy is simply said, less is more. So what they do is they take an idea, they remove it and bring it just down to its essence. So what's important is the essence. So they bring remove all the frills, and it's very like usually functional and very beautifully done work because they take care so much of things. Whereas the Middle East, if you look at Middle East and Middle Eastern craft, it's not also about the size, but it's about the identity of the region, which is about repetitive geometry.
Correct.
And it comes, of course, from the Islamic world. And you see it in old architecture. You have all this repetitive geometry, which is actually reminiscent of God, because the repetitive geometry is an endless, infinite geometry.
Correct.
And that abstraction is what they see as God. So basically what I try to do is actually incorporate that geometry, the repetitive geometry, in a very minimalist, simple form. So that is what makes my collection, I guess, unique, because before that in the Ottoman, it was just very curvy form and very intricate work. And it was just more and more. Whereas I came in and I kind of stopped that and I said, okay, let's look at the essence of what we have in our region. It is about geometry, it is about craft, and let's just show that and nothing else. So I called my company East and East, which is celebrating Eastern craftsmanship through Japanese minimalism.
Wow, amazing, amazing. And therefore, I'm assuming that your furniture is also lighter than the very heavy furniture that I have normally seen in the Middle East.
Definitely, yes.
Okay.
It's much lighter. It's more worldly because it's not purely Middle Eastern, just like I am. I'm a result of the combination of the kind of Asian upbringing and the Middle Eastern upbringing. Our furniture represents that. And in a way, it's really interesting because the reason my brand took off is because it's not only me who was trying to find that cross balance between the two cultures.
Right.
Everybody else has duality in them today.
Absolutely.
So especially the people, the Lebanese who traveled abroad and they were exposed to contemporary modernity, they come back, so they want a bit of their identity, but they want like something that they can relate to also.
Fascinating. So, when I was reading about you, you said, and I'll quote, you have the ability to distill culture and craftsmanship to create pieces of emotional resonance. Help me understand this with an example.
Yeah. Okay. So, often design is talked about like it looks good, it looks good. For me, design is about feeling good. And where does that come from? So I work mainly with craftsmen and artisans.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine when you're like, an example I give is the example of cooking. So when someone is cooking for someone they love, mm-hmm. the food is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? It's an energy.
Correct.
And with the craftsmen, when they're doing what they're doing, the intricate workmanship, they're putting all their love and attention to this piece.
Mm.
So what people feel in the end result is this energy of the craftsman.
Mm.
And so what they feel, they don't understand it. It's something we cannot voice.
Mm.
So it just, that's why it touches the heart, the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you look at geometry, repetitive geometry, when you look at something that's repetitive, it mesmerizes you, it takes you to another level.
Correct.
You see it in the Sufi dancing, the repetition, and this repetition takes you to God, I guess. Mm-hmm. This is the idea of God.
Correct.
And so that also has this emotional resonance.
Mm-hmm.
So these are kind of like my main thing is craft and geometry,
mm-hmm.
repetitive, an intricate repetitive geometry. And this actually touches the heart, even beyond the brain. The brain follows the heart.
Amazing. So, you were just telling me about Japan and how you are blending different learnings from different cultures. I wanted to understand from you, how does culture impact design?
Okay, well, that's a really interesting question because I guess I had to ask that question so much.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look around the region and see. First of all, it's often beauty is related to how they see God.
Mm.
So in Japan, it's about silence, meditation. And this is how they see God. And so when you look at their designs, it's very minimalist. It's pure.
Correct.
Whereas in this part of the world, let's say the Islamic world, it's about repetition. Mm. Mantras, repeat. And so you're also getting to God. You're also reaching God. But the way they express it is by, doing the system, the repetitive geometry,
correct.
Intricate work. So this is how culture reflects. And I also lived in the U.S. and the and Europe. And, I also picked up different ways of thinking.
Okay.
For example, in America, where I studied, America's a young country.
Correct.
A few hundred years old.
Yeah.
So they have nothing to look back to. They have a future. So they look at the future. They look at modern materials. They look at simplicity, practicality, no nonsense, form and function, they call it. So this is what I learned about just doing things that are functional, straightforward, and experimenting with material.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the glass and steel industries, when they were building the skyscrapers.
Correct.
So that effect influences the culture and it influences design at the end of the day. And then you go to the UK where I lived, and what did they revere? They revered the past.
Mm-hmm.
Past, you go into a shop, an antique shop, and they talk about, the 18th century carving or the marquetry work that's done by this person in this village. And so again, the value of craft over time I realized that its craft has value over time, and it goes up in value over time. So it's really like my work is actually a mixture of all these cultural elements that are really instilled subconsciously. It wasn't conscious when I created my furniture.
Fascinating. It's just so amazing. You know, and I've never ever heard this definition of America being a young country and therefore they think ahead, and the UK being an old country and therefore they look in the past for designs particularly.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So that's so fascinating. So, you know, Nara, when you were setting up your studio, Nara Debs, what were some of your challenges and some of your learnings?
So it was actually a very personal journey because I was struggling with my identity. Like I grew up in a very Arab household. And then around me were all these Japanese and foreigners. And so my move to Beirut was subconsciously to find my roots. But actually it's furniture that gave me the answer to my identity crisis.
Okay.
Because I started from home. I had no plan to make a brand or anything. I started from home. I was already designing furniture in the UK. And I started to see what is regional furniture, craft, and I went to Damascus. And so what I did is I started to create small objects, bedside tables, consoles, and I put them in my home. And people started to come by, and they're like, how interesting. It looks Middle Eastern, but then it looks very Zen. And I said, oh, I mean, I could be both. I could be both Asian and Middle Eastern, like, and the furniture gave me that answer. And I realized at the end of the day, what I'm doing is creating a balance, finding that balance between opposites. So I applied that philosophy on everything. And so I started at home. It got to a point where my home was too filled with furniture. And you know, it was a home after all. When I started people, so it just opened up to some magazines came and covered my story. And then it opened up to the Middle East. So UAE, Kuwait, people started to hear of me and they started to come to my home, which was a bit embarrassing because, you know, it was my home that they were coming to.
Correct.
So finally, I made the move of opening in downtown Beirut, where it was between East and West Beirut, kind of neutral area. And from there, it just, you know, the ball got rolling. I had no control of my business. I was having sleepless nights because for me, I thought I was just opening a little studio space where I show samples of my work, but people saw me as a retail shop. So they were asking me, Nada, do you gift wrap? Nada, do you have a credit card machine? And I was like, wait a minute. I need help. And so my personal journey ended up to be a retail shop plus a design studio.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, in addition to furniture, you also do artwork, jewelry, and one-off commissions. Tell me about some of these and how do you handle such a vast portfolio of designs?
So, like I was saying, once you have the philosophy, design philosophy, it can be applied to any discipline.
Okay.
So it can be even applied to cooking, you know, like fusion cooking is what I do in a way with fusion. So what I do is because my identity became, you know, clear, other brands approached me, for example, jewelry brands or, you know, artists, you know, or not artists, but galleries, museums. And they would want something that, where I can combine. So yes, I've made jewelry, same philosophy, contemporary form, you know, geometry, and then I work with some kind of craft technique. So for me, my journey now is about going from region to region. Like a few years ago, I went to Afghanistan and I worked on carpets that were woven by women. I'm now working in Pakistan with some marble inlay and hopefully going to India and then back to Japan.
Wow.
So the idea is really, and so because my work is all about handcraft, I do a lot of private commissions, and that has become my main core of my business, where I get commissions from a lot from governmental and institutional work, because my work represents a contemporary identity.
Very interesting.
So I have Queen Rania, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the UAE. I renovated the Arab League Hall in Cairo, which is like encompassing all the Arab world.
Amazing, yeah.
So yes, so my work is really about identity and a contemporary identity of the region.
Fascinating. And these commissions that you handle, are these renovations or are these specific art forms that you are creating? Tell me a little bit about this.
So it is. So some of it is just furniture. Mm-hmm. So for example, I did furniture recently for the UAE mission to the UN in the New York City. Mm-hmm. So the skyscraper was built by an American firm. Mm-hmm. The main furniture in the lobby and all the Majlis areas were all designed by me, designed by us. So in that case, it's just furniture.
Okay.
The Arab League Hall, for example, it was everything. Mm-hmm. We had the wall finishes. We had from the wall finishes all the way to the actual furniture, all the way to the actual serving tray.
Wow.
So yes, I do from very large interiors all the way to a small object.
And I guess there must be a theme that runs through every single piece of design that you create.
Yes, we do a lot of prototyping. Mm-hmm. The thing is, most furniture design is relatively a new discipline. Mm-hmm. Most people know about interior design. So they have an interior designer that paints the walls, that does space planning, that chooses the flooring, and then they usually buy the furniture. But there are certain spaces where you need to actually customize, because when people are spending money, they really want something more personalized.
Okay.
And so in that case, this is where we come in, and we work with the interior designer and the client, and we come up with something for, you know, specifically for the client.
Fantastic. And your response gives me the segue into my next question. Okay. That when you handle so many different types of designs, where do you get the motivation to keep coming up with so many different designs?
That's a really good question, because I get surprised at myself.
Okay.
But it really actually comes from, first of all, the need of people. When I meet people and I see what they're doing, it inspires me. Someone would say, I feel like sitting in front of a TV and lifting my legs up. And suddenly in my mind, I get a table with a bit of cushion in set in the table, so the feet are comfortable. So I actually get images coming into my head. So the more people I meet, the better, because they are the ones who inspire me. But on the other hand, I also am very, very much inspired by my artisans and my craftsmen, because they are at the core of what I do.
Correct.
And I watch them work, and as they're working, I sometimes stop them. I say, stop right there. I like what you're doing. Let's see what we can do if we change the material. And so now I have a team of craftsmen who are open to new ways of thinking. And this is the exciting and challenging part.
Amazing. So Nara, I have time for two more questions for you. My next question is that you mentioned that human stories are important for you.
Yeah.
I'd like to understand from you, how do human stories feature in your designs?
Well, every collection I do has a story, or else it won't stick to people's minds. I mean, how many pieces of furniture out there are there in this world? So many. So the way that you have to relate to this is by really, that's how I design anyway. So for example, I decided to do a collection called Marquetry Mania. Okay. Okay, so it's taking marquetry strips that were usually put in backgammon games. And I thought, this is a little bit, we need to update this craft. And so what I did is I introduced color. Mm-hmm. And then instead of laying it out in a disciplined way, mm-hmm. I just laid it out in a very spread out way, like mm-hmm. a manic way. Correct. And it was actually inspired by fashion. Mm-hmm. So this is where, like, for example, I have inspirations from fashion as well. But human stories, another story, maybe example, would be I was collaborating with a young fashion designer mm-hmm. to come up with a furniture design, and he does beautiful illustrations. And the way we interpreted this collection is that he went on a trip to the forest, to the reserve, mm-hmm. to a reserve, mm-hmm. and he noticed that certain birds go to certain trees. And so his illustrations were based on, like, let's say we're using walnut wood, mm-hmm. and he would do illustrations of birds that go to walnut trees.
I see.
And for example, if I'm doing oak wood furniture, mm-hmm. like sparrows go to oak wood. So mm-hmm. we drew sparrows. So this kind of stories that influence the design.
How nice. Now, my last question to you, and this is about the millennials and the Gen Zs.
Oh, yes.
You know, you are working with a cross-section of ages, from people of my age who are in their mid-60s to maybe people who are older to the very young, the millennials, the Gen Zs. How are the Gen Zs changing expectations from you in design?
Okay, that's a great question, because this generation is what I've been studying a lot and I've mm-hmm. been observing. And I really, really respect the Gen Zs because they question things mm-hmm. and they really make me think, is my work sustainable? Does mm-hmm. it have meaning? Does it have purpose? Mm-hmm. Because the Gen Zs are questioning everything today. Correct. As opposed to the millennials. Millennials are a little bit more spoiled. You know, they would go into the internet, they would just purchase a few things, they don't question where it's from. Hmm. The Gen Zs would actually look at the social media, say interesting, and they go to the source. Mm-hmm. They find out, where is this coming from? Hmm. And once they understand if that source is respectful, sustainable, has meaning, has purpose, then they come back and they purchase. And so this makes me think, okay, where is my wood coming from? Mm. Am I doing meaningful things? Am I just designing for the sake of looking good, or am I designing with a purpose? Mm. And so they are actually challenging me in a big way. And I love it because, you know, it's the challenges that make me continue designing. Mm.
Fabulous. Now, on that note, thank you so much. I've learned so many interesting things from you today.
You're welcome.
You know, thank you for talking to me about your own motivation and how you learned from Japan to the West and you brought back all that learning to the Middle East. Thank you for talking to me about Studio Nadia, Nara Debs, and the amazing work that you're doing with there. And thank you for talking to me about all your art commissions. Thank you again, and good luck.
You're most welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.